For God so loved the world, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. How do we get the message of the cross of Christ and the victory at Calvary and the miracle of the empty tomb out? How do we do that? Let's find out. And it starts right now on Paid For.
Here is the host of the Paid For program, Andy Holland.
231-580-6304 is the number. The Paid For program. You may remember that song from the Birds. Oh, and you know, they didn't come up with that completely on their own. It's out of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Pastor Andy with you on the Paid For program. The show's about Jesus, loving Jesus. Because he first loved us. Have you ever thought about that? There was a time this week for some sunshine. That was fun, wasn't it? Seemed like it hadn't been here in a long time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, if you want to write a hit song, you might want to think about checking out the Bible here. There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's variability to our lives. There are seasons. There are periods of time. There are times where we're thinking about starting a family, maybe, or studying for a big test. Some of you out there, I know Julie is gearing up for a big test. And I just got some major coursework done, and that's always a relief. There's a time for studying, and there's a time for your practicum, for your practical, right? There's a big difference there, you know. You go from studying to maybe taking a test to actually practically getting tested on your actual skills. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Time to be born. And yes, there is a time to die because of sin that has entered the world. It wasn't God's original intention for sin to be in the world. You say, well, why did he allow it? Oh, you want to know about the problem of evil this morning already. Well, we could get into that a lot of different ways, but the way that I understand it is the world wouldn't be as good if there wasn't an opportunity for us to have free will, for the human race to have free will. So I trust that God created the best of all possible worlds when he created this world. Have you ever thought about how unique this world is? You can look a long way into that Hubble telescope before you find another Earth. I can tell you that much. There's not a whole lot of blue out there in all those billions of stars. So yes, there is a time to be born. There's a time to be born into the human family, and there's a time to be born into the kingdom of God, a time to be born again, and there's a time to die a physical death. There's a time to die to self and to the sinful nature, the things that hold you back. There was a time for Jesus to die. A time for him to be nailed to a cross. But did you know that the Bible also talks about us, followers of him, crucifying the flesh, crucifying the sinful nature that's in us, crucifying the part of us that's in opposition to God, putting that part of us up on the cross. And that's one of the things that we celebrate in baptism, is celebrating that we've been crucified with Christ, dropped, dipped, sprinkled, poured out, whichever way you baptize, into the waters of baptism, and raised to a newness of life, just like Jesus was raised from the dead. That time to die is, for the Christian, is of course a tragic time, because we say, well, we don't say goodbye in the faith. I mean, we do, but it's more of a, we'll see you soon, we'll see you later. We don't know how soon, because that's another season. There's a time to plant. Oh, okay. Some of us are excited for that time to plant. We're already thinking about our gardens. Who's out there thinking about their gardens? Has somebody got something going in their basement already to try to get ready for the springtime? To be ready for getting those tomatoes off to a good start, or whatever crop you like to grow. Time to plant those seeds. Or maybe you're planting different kinds of seeds. Maybe you're planting seeds of hope and love. Maybe you're putting money away for a college education for somebody, or for a big gift for your significant other. Saving up for a wedding, like Colin and Bethany are out in Lakeview. You know? Saving up for a life together, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. There's a time in our lives when we're supposed to pull out things. Maybe it's that willow tree that you planted a while back and didn't realize that thing was just going to grow and grow and grow and drop stuff and create all kinds of a big mess and look pretty, but be brittle and drop sticks and everything else, and it's time for that thing to go. Well, good luck with that. Those things, you can cut them down and they'll grow after they're on the ground. They don't like to be uprooted. And that's kind of like things in our lives that we have from time to time that, well, we'd like to get rid of them. We'd like to be able to let go of some things, but they're not always that easy to uproot, are they? Things like to hold on to us. And there's a time where you need to call a professional. You know? You call a professional if you have a stump that you can't get out. You get a professional stump grinder, right? Well, there's times where you need to call a professional when you have things in your life that you don't want to be there. And it doesn't have to be a professional pastor. Well, we call them sometimes a professional prayer warrior. You know, somebody that you could just say, a professional friend. Now, I know I'm using the term professional loosely. What I'm saying is somebody that can stand with you and say, hey, alcohol's been a problem in your life. It's time to uproot that thing. Or your anger is out of control. Or your spending. You know what it is out there. Somebody that loves you can say, hey, it's time to uproot some things in your life. There is a time to kill, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. I talked about that a little bit already. Time to crucify the flesh. No, we don't hurt ourselves. We don't have to walk on glass as believers in Christ on our hands and knees. It's by His stripes that we've been healed. By His wounds we've been healed. But we do have to say goodbye, so long, Elvitas and farewell to the things that hold us back from having a relationship with Christ. You know, I had this picture of, I don't know if anybody's ever gone through a tunnel. You know, like a narrow tunnel. And you get through the tunnel and it opens up into a big room. But you can't take a big box of stuff through that tunnel. You can only take your body or stuff that's smaller than your body through that tunnel. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how it is in the faith, is God is trying to take you to a big room where there's a lot of different stuff in there. Probably the stuff you're trying to take in there, it's already in that other room. But some of us are trying to hang on to this box of old stuff, old used stuff that's really not that useful to us. It means we can't go through the tunnel to get to the big place where it's going to be a wide open space. Remember how Jesus said the door is narrow, the road is narrow. Just you that can get through there. Can't take any of your stuff with you. Got to leave it all behind. But what am I going to eat, Andy? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to sleep? Oh, Jesus' followers had that same question. Remember what he said about that? Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Even those heathens out there, the Gentiles, they all need those things. If your Heavenly Father clothes the lilies out there in the field, look how beautiful they're going to be in the springtime. Just got some beautiful purple tulips for a very special person, had a birthday. Jessica's birthday was a while back. Got her some of those tulips. Look how beautiful God clothes those tulips. That's what Jesus is saying. Or the roses or whatever you got, your main squeeze for your Valentine's Day. How much more will he clothe you? And he says, your faith is little in this area. So don't try to take too much through the tunnel. When we do that, we don't get through it. We get stuck. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 3. We're all the way through three verses already. Time to kill. We talked about the things in our life that we need to, in our lives that we need to kill. And a time to heal. Well, I'm not a doctor, Andy. You know, one of the amazing things that I've learned about the medical community is that a big part of their job is not to heal. It's to create the environment, the conditions where healing can take place. You see the difference there? You got a wound, you know, maybe it's opened up and it's infected. And so they give you an antibiotic to create the conditions where your body won't be fighting that infection and creating that problem all the time. Or maybe they'll throw some stitches in there to make it so that your body will heal. But what happens if you stitch up something that's not alive? Well, eventually, stitches come out, right? Because the skin's not growing back. So sometimes we stop a little bit short. You know, we know that person who's just found out their spouse has been unfaithful. Or we know that person that is calling us every time their prescription is running low, but we know it shouldn't be running low already. And maybe they took an extra pill here or there. They lost track. They lost count of the amount of pills. Their doctor switched something with their insurance and were getting calls about the oxys, about the bikes, about the Percocets. We say, Andy, I know there's a problem there, but I don't know how to help. Andy, I know somebody just got that cancer diagnosis out there. They're starting the chemo. We say, we don't know how to help. Well, what if that doctor said, I don't know how to heal? Because he really doesn't. He knows how to create the conditions for healing. So we can create the conditions for healing in somebody's life. And we can trust the great physician to come in and do the healing. Just like he does with that human. And we do that by showing love. By showing caring for that person. I told somebody just yesterday about a difficult thing that's happened in my life in the last year. And that person said, I'm sorry to hear that. That must be very difficult. And that created a condition for healing for me. Just those simple words. I said, wow, I've said those words to lots of people over the years, but I didn't realize how nice that feels to hear that. It feels amazing. Be connected with other people. And by the way, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been commanded to go out and heal, to do likewise. In fact, he said, greater things than I'm doing here, you will be able to do, because you're going to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So when you limit yourself, you limit what he wants to do through you. So many of us are out there and we're stuck in the I won't, which means you got your heels dug in, you won't do it. And sometimes we get over the I won't and we say, I can't. Well, there's lots of people in the Bible that said, I can't. There was Moses. There was lots of people in the Bible that said, I can't do it. And yet God worked through them anyway. And he wants to work through you for your time to heal. We made it through the third verse. Say, Pastor Handy, I've never come to your church because you only make it through three verses in 20 minutes. There's a time to tear down. And a time to build. There's some structures in our lives that maybe have been built. Maybe you got some structures in your relationships, some traditions. Maybe they're working, and maybe they're not working anymore. Maybe it's a source of constant irritation. Here we go again with that golf league. Here we go again with bowling. It's a structure, it's a tradition, it's something that you've put in your life. It's been there for a while, and yet it creates, it was put in there, and now it's become its own thing. And it's something that's creating division in the relationships that you value the most. And maybe you feel a little selfish for having it there, but you also feel like you deserve it. Well, maybe it's time to tear that structure down. Maybe it's not something on your calendar, but it's an approach. There's a groove that we get into sometimes when we enter into a conversation. Well, I'm only doing that because you're doing this. It's your fault. Did you ever think about how I feel? Maybe it's time to tear down some of those structures. Just be listeners. Just be listening to what God has for us. Because then we get a chance to do what God loves to do. And He loves to do it through us. And that's after we've torn those things down, we get a chance to build, a time to build. Oh, even a young child, one of their favorite things to do, especially the boys. I never had girls, so I'm not sure if girls like to do this too. But they like to stack those blocks up, don't they? They love to build. Now, they don't mind tearing down either. But they'll stack those blocks up nice and tall. And many of you out there are builders, constructors. You might be a teacher. You're building an educational foundation. You might be a transportation person. You're driving trucks. You're out there delivering goods to people, helping to build up stores and communities. And we get to build. There's a wonderful guy named Randy Badge. Great name for a wonderful guy. And Randy Badge is so excited about the chance to build into young people's lives. And he does this thing called Men of Honor, Ladies of Honor. Some of you know him. Many of you know him. Retired out of Tri-County Schools, 31 years at Tri-County Schools. And his life goal, the thing that fires him up, is getting the opportunity to build into the lives of young people, to build a structure and build a foundation. And my thing is, I like to build the Church of Jesus Christ. I like to build the kingdom of God. Because it's an invisible kingdom that has visible impact. And I love to just watch the Holy Spirit move. Somebody comes in, they've got a bad attitude. And I like to watch the Holy Spirit just work through that. Next thing you know, they leave with a smile. I'm going to tell my friends about this. Oh, really? That's great. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. He gives us a time to build. There's a time for sorrow, a time to weep. Jesus wept. I'm a man. I don't cry. Oh, really? Jesus wept. Takes a big man to cry. Ever thought about that? There's a time to weep, time to laugh. Yes, there is. There's nothing funny about this situation, Andy. Well, maybe not that situation, but there's lots of situations that have a lot of humor to them. Jesus had a good laugh when he realized that the most educated people that he was dealing with had no idea what he was talking about, but God had revealed it to the women and children. He had revealed it to the least. And he just threw back his head. And he laughed, full of joy, as the Bible says. So thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and have revealed it to these little children. Oh, and there's that time to mourn. The time that we have on this earth is very short. I didn't realize just how short it was until, you know, I said, wow, I'm 40, 41. Lost a year there for a second. Just a short time on this life. When you're a kid, things seem forever. You know, first grade, oh, it's forever. Second grade, oh, that's forever. So there's a time to mourn, a time to weep. Some of us haven't done this in a long time. there is a time to dance. Some of us do a better job of this than others. But there's a time to dance, to get those feet moving, get those hips moving, and just let it go. God has created that motion in your body for a reason. Something in that causes a freedom. The freedom of the dance. You know, David got in such trouble with his wife for that. So what is he doing? He had a great victory and he's out. He had taken off his overclothes. Who knows how much clothes he had left at the time. He was just so excited. He was dancing for the Lord up and down the street. Just, yeah, God, you did it again. He was a psalmist, so he probably had his guitar or whatever it was. And she said, oh, my husband is embarrassing me. What is he doing? How undignified. How undignified for a king to be doing this. And David didn't care. He was dancing. There's a season for everything. Paid for audience. It's the now season, though. It's the time of God's favor. The sun rises and the sun sets. And we're in the midst of the age of grace where God is looking down on us and saying, accept my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your life and follow him. Because this age of grace will not last forever. There will be a time where there will be no more ability for us as preachers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because it'll be too late. So whatever season you're in right now, my priority is that you recognize it's the season to turn toward the love of Jesus Christ and accept him, hook, line, and sinker, into your life. Say, you're my Savior, you're my Lord. I'm taking my orders from you. I'm Andy. This has been Paid For. Who's going to be up here at 9:30? You just never know. We're going to talk about Joseph and Jessica's getting baptized. Hallelujah. We'll see you real soon.